I'm not much of a hockey fan, but I do know a little bit. And I will have to admit that at times I do enjoy the roughness. I don't know what it is about it, but there is something when I see, I don't know if it's wrong of me to do this, but sometimes I'll see a clip online of a hockey fight and I'll click on it just to watch them fight. Is that bad or what? I don't know. But anyway, hockey players, okay? Hockey players, when they go out on the ice, they go out there suited up, don't they? They go out there, they have the pads all up their legs. They have the skates. They have something up here to protect them up here. They have those massive gloves. They have the helmets and usually have face guards. Picture, if you will, a hockey team. They're playing in a professional match, and one of the hockey players shows up without his uniform. There he sits on the bench. Somebody lets him have a stick. And the coach says, "Get in there." And off he goes, scooting across the ice into a very dangerous battle. Into a place where there's going to be lots of things happening that he's not ready for. He's not prepared for. I bring that analogy now to the concept and the idea of the spiritual battle that you and I are engaged in. You and I are engaged in a battle, whether we realize it or not, that is real, that is more powerful than anything we have to offer against it. In and of ourselves, our flesh, and our own abilities, we are incapable of surviving this battle. This battle is described to us in Ephesians chapter 6. So I'd like you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6 tonight. Tonight I'd just like to review briefly the battle, the armor, and I'd like us to focus in on what enables the warrior to function in this battle. Notice the armor is there to help him, but what gives him the energy? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Now, in this passage, there is some very strong statements. Some of these statements I use often to encourage me in my walk. In days where I am feeling weak or where I am feeling tempted, I often find myself saying, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Dear ones, we can stand in strength and power, but it is only in the Lord's might, not in yours, not in mine. You feel weak, you feel tempted, you struggle throughout the day. That is because you are weak. The Lord is strong. As we go down throughout this passage, we need to realize something, that this battle is on the spiritual realm. This is not a battle of flesh and blood. It is not that easy. It is not that simple. Notice that this armor is not a literal sword that you hold that shoots out Bible verses. It's not that simple. It's because this battle is on the spiritual realm. Do you realize that the spiritual realm does not have flesh and blood? You cannot see it, you cannot touch it, but it is real. The spiritual armor is composed of truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, God's word. Now I want to ask you something about that. Can you hold truth? Give me truth. Can you do that? Can you give me truth that I can hold? No. But truth is something that is made evident by the confirmation of the Spirit. As God is at work in your life, He confirms to you what is truth. Now I see some of you holding out your Bibles. And yes, we could say that you give me a Bible, you are giving me truth. But what makes that real and have an effect in your life? It is the spiritual work of God. Just reading these words is just like reading any other book, unless you understand the reality that it is truth. And that comes from knowing God. From understanding that the Spirit of God is at work to use these black and white pages to come off and mean something to a person. Truth is made evident by the confirmation of the Spirit. Righteousness is given at salvation and is sustained through the sanctification of the Spirit. You and I have the ability to live righteously because we have been saved. This is the work of God. You don't save me. I don't save you. It's God. What is God? Who is God? He is Spirit. We don't touch Him. We don't feel Him. The gospel of peace is the living message that changes one's heart and enables them to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We live in this age where the gospel of Jesus Christ is presented. It is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What meaning does that have? Except that the Spirit of God goes before and prepares a heart. Prepares a heart to realize that they are a sinner in need of a Savior. And so Jesus Christ meets that need. Faith is a trust in the promises of God. God, again, is Spirit. God is Spirit, and He gives us His promises through His Word, but we have to believe by faith. Salvation is a changed life from within, not necessarily a life free from struggles. Salvation is that going from death to life. Salvation is a work of God. Salvation is a transformation of a person. Ephesians, earlier in this book, it says in chapter 2, verse 1, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. You were made alive." That was the work of God. God's word is a life-giving wisdom from God. So what gives the word of God power and real authority in our lives? It is the fact that it is from God. So as we consider that, that's the spiritual armor. That's the armor that God gives to us that enables us to be able to stand strong in the power of His might. He says in verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Believer, we have incredible resources. We are able to stand and stand well. The devil's all around us at work. You know that. You experience temptation. And so he says in 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Now, at the close of this description of the spiritual armor, the Apostle Paul speaks about prayer. Why? Why does he bring prayer in to this whole idea of a spiritual war? Why? I have to say that this connection happened for me, and it was incredible to see this connection. Maybe you've seen this before, but this was really encouraging to my heart. Because as we think about prayer is something that you and I can do, right? It's something that we can do physically. Something we can't communicate verbally. But what does it do? It bridges us from this physical to the spiritual. It is because prayer connects us and engages us in the spiritual battle in which we are fighting. Prayer is that vital connection. Prayer is the energy, the power that is needed for the believer to engage in the battle, for it is spiritual. It is only through God and His armor that a believer can ever hope to win against the spiritual enemies. So looking at our text, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So, Paul states the battle is on the spiritual realm. It's not flesh and blood. So it will do no good for us to flex our physical muscles. It is the spiritual muscles of faith, of truth, of righteousness, of the gospel of peace, of the word of God that must be flexed. In verse 18, the Apostle Paul writes, he says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." I want you to notice a few things about this verse. I want you to notice how many times you see the word "all" or "always." Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. There is a total inclusion here, inclusion that Paul wants the believers to realize. That prayer is an important aspect and an imperative in the believer's walk, in the believer's life. Why? Because they are engaged in a spiritual battle, yet the believer is tempted to walk physically and forget the spiritual. But he says, no, you pray always. And as you pray, the connections are made, and you are able then to engage in the battle. And so apply the armor that is yours in the battle. He says, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Notice that he gives us the realm. He says, praying, that is an action, a physical action that he is calling the people to do. Pray. But he is saying, pray in the Spirit. This reminds me of a passage in Romans. In Romans chapter 8, where we read this. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. This is verse 27. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Have you ever thought of your prayer life, of your time in prayer, as a time of entering in to the spiritual battle? As a time of the proverbially entering through that little gate into the hockey arena, you're entering into a new realm. And it is God's way of connecting us as people and allowing us to truly engage and have an impact. But this is only in the Spirit. And notice Paul says in Romans that you guys, we human beings, we struggle to pray, but God is ready and willing to help us. He makes intercession for us. He's on our behalf before God. So I tell you, and you probably will agree with me, that there are times when you kneel to pray and you just don't know what to say. You just don't know what to say. So if prayer is that important, it is something that we must engage in and engage in regularly. The battle doesn't stop. The battle wages on. And it will continue to wage until the end of the age when the devil is cast aside. We will have a little reprieve as we reign with Christ in the millennium for 1,000 years. For the devil will be bound during that time. But up until the rapture, dear ones, this battle is going to rage on. But God has opened up this opportunity for us to engage in a spiritual battle. Now, why is this so important? I mean, we think about prayer. We think about the spiritual armor. We need to engage in the spiritual level of Christianity. You know, Christianity, in many people's eyes, is a fad. In many people's eyes, it's a way of life. It's a way to get things. It's just a way to fit in. It's just a tradition. But there is a level of Christianity where it is the Spirit of God is at work in the hearts and lives of people. Your life, my life, in the lives of those with whom we work and play, in the lives of whom, with our families. God is at work. And you and I, you care about your family. You care about the guy that sits across the aisle from you. You care about them. How can you help them and allow their life to change for eternity? Yes, you can obey God and share the gospel with them, but you can pray. And when you pray, you are engaging in the battle. You are applying the armor, the truth. For the battle wages in ways that you and I cannot address except through prayer. Prayer connects us and allows us to realize the incredible power of God. You can pray. And prayer has an effect. It's a mighty working of God. It's a wonderful thing that God includes us in any of this. And, you know, I often wonder if God ever sits up there and says, man, these guys mess it up every time. Well, we don't need to worry about that. God's got all that figured out and under control. But he does want us to pray. He wants us to engage in this battle. What is prayer? It is the believer engaging in the spiritual war, applying all the aspects of God's arsenal against the enemy. Prayer is the gate through which the Christian enters into the battlefield. As I was thinking about this, I did some looking through the scriptures. You remember when Peter and John, well, let's just go to the book of Acts. I just want to highlight a few examples for us. Book of Acts, chapter 4, Peter and John. I'm going to do this kind of quickly, but I want you to see the reality of what takes place when we pray. Acts chapter 4, verse 23, and being let go, that's Peter and John, let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. And they continue on down and they pray. Why are they praying? Let me point something out to you. Peter and John were arrested. They are arrested by soldiers, soldiers that have power. The disciples, could they have raised up an army and gone after and stood up for themselves? Well, they could have tried. But the church resorts to praying. Why? Because there is a battle that's raging all over. And it is the forces of God that can change the hearts of men. You and I, we are powerless unless we stand in the power of God's might. Acts chapter 12. We've talked about this before, but I want you to look at it from this perspective. The church, they're praying for Peter. He is in prison. Look at verse 5. Acts 12, 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Was the church plotting an escape for Peter? No, they were praying. Why? Because they believed in the power of prayer to work in the hearts and minds of people and in the life of Peter to give him the strength to endure while in prison. God could connect with Peter in prison, even if they could not. Verse 12 of chapter 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother. So after he was released from prison by the angel, came to the house of the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, and where many were gathered together praying. The church was praying. Chapter 13, the church at Antioch chose Barnabas and Saul for the work, for missionary work. Verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed from Seleucia. You know what? Why did they pray for them? Why is it that we pray for missionaries when they're sent out from us? Why do that? Why not give them a 45 to put on their belt and say, Go! It's because we believe in the power of God. And we pray to connect into that power of God. Because that's what we can do. That's what we can do because the spiritual battle is real. And missionaries, as they go out, they are sent out into the midst of that battle, and we pray for their protection, for their strength. That the truth, the righteousness, the peace, the faith, the salvation, and God's word, that they would understand and stand strong behind that armor that is theirs. I could go on for another hour of examples, and you as well. Think about examples where people have prayed and asked the question, why are they praying? Why aren't they doing something physical? Why aren't they feeding them or fighting? No, they're praying. It's because there's a great power in prayer. And it's because prayer is important because there's a battle that's waging on the spiritual realm of which we are physical. It is our way of being engaged in that battle and applying the armor that God has given to us. In closing, back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching. There's another action that is being alert thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Do you ever wonder what to pray for? You can pray for other Christians. You can pray for them. You can be on the alert for them. You can watch out for them and bring them before the Lord. This word watching really means keep alert. Why? For all saints. It's because our brothers and sisters are in a battle just like us. Paul goes on, verse 19, and he says, and for me. Paul's not afraid to ask people to pray for him. Why? And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The church, he's asking them to pray. He's not asking them to send him to seminary to learn how to preach. No, he's asking them to pray for him. Because he is going in two places. He is in prison himself. He is at places where they are not. But they can have a vital connection and influence in his life through prayer. As they pray, they can pray that he will be able to stand strong in the power of his might. That the truth of God would be his focus. That Christ's righteousness would be Paul's righteousness. That the gospel of peace would be on his lips. That faith would sustain him against the temptations of the devil. That the salvation would give him the security that is his in Christ. And that God's word would forever be in his heart. I want to read this quote for you. Men may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our arguments, despise our persons, but they are helpless against our prayers. Why? Because prayer engages in the spiritual realm. That is a quote not from me, but from someone else that has had much more experience than I, but yet the reality is true. They are helpless against our prayers. The devil's helpless against our prayers. Saints, we need to pray. God's calling our church to be a church of prayer. Not a church that's known for its buildings, not a church that's known for its preaching and pastor, but a church that is known because God is at work in this place. Prayer is going to be the key. Revivals have taken place throughout history, and in the basements of those buildings is where prayer meets. God is convincing my heart more and more of the importance of prayer. I will close with this. I said that once already, but I got one more. I just finished reading a book. It's called Too Busy Not to Pray. And I've been trying to practice that. It's hard. I go down to the office. It seems like every week there's another message to preach. Another message to prepare. There is, yes. But God's convincing me more and more and more that I need prayer. I need to pray. I need that vital connection. And as I pray, God makes up all the difference. God gives me the strength and the ability. You know what, saints? The real thing is, I'm seeing that. I'm watching that happen in my own life personally. And may we, as we begin as a church, as we embark on this journey as a church, we will begin to see God at work. Lord, I thank you for our time together. Thank you for encouraging my heart and the hearts of your people here tonight. God, I'm energized. I'm excited. It's an amazing thing that you have involved us in all of these things. But Lord, we need to do it your way. We need to be in submission to you and to your strength, to your power. God, I pray that you would strengthen each one here tonight as they go their separate way, as they embark out into the world this week. Oh God, give them boldness to speak the truth, to live the truth. Encourage their hearts in the scriptures. May the gospel of peace be on our lips. May we be clothed with your righteousness, Jesus Christ. We pray these things in your name, amen.